My hope this morning is that you know the God of that song that we just sang, the faithful one, the one upon whom you can depend no matter what, the solid rock, the anchor in a storm. I wonder if those words of that song resonate with you, that it's repeated. I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. Did you notice in this song that all the words are about God's character and about the way that God is in relationship with the singer? You are my rock of peace. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. There's an assumption in the song that when the singer calls out to God, God shows up, that God answers, that God provides what's needed again and again. It seems to me that the person who wrote this song didn't just know about God, he knows God. Last week, I told you that we're going to be talking about and invited to practice a bunch of different spiritual disciplines over the coming weeks. Now, I don't want you to let the term spiritual disciplines intimidate you. All they really are just tried and true tools that help put us in a position to meet God, to know God. They aren't things that we're meant to master. They're things that we're meant to practice. Some of them will be familiar and some won't. Some you'll recognize and have lots of experience practicing, and others are going to feel brand new. Over the next 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about prayer. It is probably the most familiar of all the spiritual disciplines, and there are all sorts of different ways and kinds of prayer. Probably all of us have prayed in some way before. Maybe just by saying grace before a meal or uttering a quick, God help me, when something feels too big or too much in our life. We spend time in our worship services praying for the various needs of people connected to our congregation, of other churches, of the world around us. And for some of you, you love this part of our worship service. Others of you maybe find it a bit tedious, but it's prayer, and you know it's prayer. There's no question that what we're doing is praying. Now, the reality is that there are a lot of different definitions of prayer out there. Some of them are super intimidating. There's this one from a 19th century Russian mystic. His name is Theophan the Recluse. To pray is to descend with the mind into the heart and there stand before the face of the Lord, ever present, all seeing within you. That's quite a description, don't you think? Let me read it again. To pray is to descend with the mind into the heart, and there stand before the face of the Lord, ever present, all seeing within you. Richard Foster wrote that prayer catapults us onto the frontier of the spiritual life. It ushers us into perpetual communion with the Father. Again, prayer catapults us onto the frontier of the spiritual life. It ushers us into perpetual communion with the Father. Don't you think that's a beautiful way of thinking about it? Perpetual communion with the Father. Perpetual being it just continues and it continues and continues. And communion being this kind of intimacy, this connectedness to God, dare I say it, this friendship with God. Corrie ten Boom was a famous 20th century author and speaker who was part of the Dutch resistance during the Nazi occupation in World War II. And she wrote this: the wonderful thing about praying is that you leave a world of not being able to do something and enter God's realm where everything is possible. He specializes in the impossible. Nothing is too great for his almighty power. Nothing is too small for his love. Again, the wonderful thing about praying is that you leave a world of not being able to do something and enter God's realm where everything is possible. He specializes in the impossible. Nothing is too great for his almighty power. Nothing is too small for his love. Again, who wouldn't want that? If that's really what prayer is, entering God's realm where everything is possible, which of us wouldn't want to pray? But let's be honest. If it was just about wanting to pray, I'm pretty sure that most of us would be praying all the time, or at least with regularity. After all, I don't think anyone would argue that prayer isn't part of being a Christian. But if we're honest, many of us, even though we want to pray, we don't. Now, before I speak to this whole wanting to pray apparently isn't enough to make us actually spend time praying thing, I'd like to take a look at two really short comments about Jesus. And the first, if you've got your Bible with you, you may want to turn to this. The first is in Luke 5. And in this chapter of Luke, Jesus has just healed a man's leprosy. Now, even though he told the man not to tell anyone what had happened, word got out, as it does when something miraculous like that happens. And then in verses 15 to 16 of Luke 5, we read this. Now more than ever, the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and to be cured of their diseases, but he would withdraw to a deserted places and pray. It seems a weird choice, doesn't it? People are coming to Jesus from everywhere. He's healing people left, right, and center. This is the point, isn't it? Isn't this why Jesus came? What better manifestation of God's kingdom than the sick being made well? But Jesus would withdraw to deserted places and pray. Right when everything was going great, when people were coming to Jesus in droves, he would withdraw and pray. It doesn't really seem like the best move, logistically, or like from a church growth perspective. Perhaps though, Jesus knew that it was only out of a place of communion with the Father that he could do any of the things he was doing. And he knew that such communion was to be found in prayer. And so rather than saying, oh, I'm too busy, I have too many things, too many people need me, I don't have time to pray, he said, oh, there's so many people that need me, I'm so busy, I need to withdraw and spend some time in prayer. It makes me wonder how many of us would even think to withdraw and pray right in the middle of when everything's going great. If we're honest, I think we're more likely to pray when things are falling apart, when no one's coming, when nothing's working. If everyone's coming, what sense does it make to leave them to go pray? And yet if Jesus needed to withdraw and pray, doesn't it stand to reason that maybe so do we? Doesn't it stand to reason that especially when things are going right, we may need the grounding that comes with stepping aside for a bit to pray? One of the things that prayer does is remind us who God is and who we are. If ever we need to be reminded of this, surely it's exactly when things are going great. Surely it's exactly when things are going great that we're most in danger of thinking it's about us or it's because of us. Maybe that we don't really need God. What better time to withdraw and pray and be reminded who God is and who we are than when things are going great? If you flip over a chapter to Luke 6 in verses 12 to 13, we read that Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles. Again, that's in Luke 6, verses 12 to 13. Jesus had all sorts of followers. Lots of people had decided to be Jesus' disciples, way more than 12. They wanted to learn from him. They wanted to live like he lived. But the day came when Jesus needed to choose 12 men who would become the apostles, those who would travel the world telling the stories of Jesus, sharing his teaching, encouraging people to believe and recognize Jesus as their risen Savior and Lord. These 12 would be the birth of the church. But before Jesus chose the 12, he spent the night in prayer. Jesus needed to spend time in intentional communion with God in order to discern God's will regarding the identity of the 12 men who would be his closest friends and disciples. How many times are we faced with decisions and we don't even think to consult God on it? How often do we maybe ask God for direction, but then fail to sit still and listen and wait for God's response? If Jesus needed to spend an entire night in prayer before choosing the 12, surely we too need to spend time in prayer before making whatever big decisions are in front of us. I'm pretty sure that all, or at least most of us, we know that we should pray. Perhaps we even want to pray. We want to pray like Jesus prayed. So the question then is, why don't we? I think there are a few things that stand in our way. I think that sometimes we have this idea that we have to have everything just right in order to pray. Maybe we think we need to know more about how to pray. Or we think our lives need to be a bit better. We need to be a bit better before we pray. Maybe we're concerned that our motives aren't pure, or our faith is insufficient, or we don't really know what we're supposed to pray. Maybe we hear stories of people who pray for hours, and we know that we can't possibly pay attention that long. We're intimidated. So what's the point in even trying? But here's the thing. As with all spiritual disciplines, it's not about us doing something perfectly or even well. It's not about us mastering a skill as if we're mastering calculus or algebra or something. At no point ever does God demand perfection or the right words or anything else. All that's required is that we come to Him with whatever's going on, with whatever's on our mind or in our heart. We come simply as children before a loving Father. And not only that, but again, as with all spiritual disciplines, it's not just on us. Prayer is never a one-sided effort. God's Holy Spirit lives in us, gives us words, and speaks for us when there are no words. I wonder if you've ever seen the painting by Michelangelo. It's called The Creation of Adam. It's a pretty famous painting. At the bottom left of the painting is Adam, with his arm stretched out toward the God figure in the upper right side of the painting. God's arm also stretched out toward Adam. Their fingers touch in the middle. When you look closely at the painting, you can't help but contrast Adam's super relaxed pose with God's straining reach. To my eyes, the angels that surround God in this painting, they almost seem to be holding on to him as if they were to let go, God might fall right out of heaven. He's straining so hard to reach toward Adam. I love this image as an image of prayer. We reach out to God with whatever we have. We may not have that much, and that's okay, because God is also reaching out toward us, and He has everything. Even if all we have to offer is 1% of the effort, God can easily supply the other 99%. As Richard Foster reminds us, God is big enough to receive us with all our mixture. We don't have to be bright or pure or filled with faith or anything. This is what grace means. And not only are we saved by grace, we live by it as well, and we pray by it. So, we agree we should pray. We agree we don't need to be perfect or skillful or anything. Maybe you don't agree yet, but it's true. We just have to do it. But how? How do we pray? You know, that's exactly what the disciples asked Jesus. They'd witnessed him going off by himself for hours on end to pray, and they wanted to learn how to pray like he did. What I love is that Jesus didn't minimize their struggle. He didn't just say to them, come on, just do it, just talk, or just listen. Instead, Jesus heard them. He heard the genuineness of their request, and this is how he answered. Now, this is according to Luke's gospel, which may sound a little bit different from the words that we sometimes recite, but according to Luke's gospel, this is how Jesus answered them. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. I think sometimes we forget that prayer is something we learn. It's not something that we just do. We learn to pray. So if you don't feel like you've figured it out, or like you're good enough, or like you have it, that's okay. It's something that we can learn. The simplest way to think about prayer is that we're just talking to God. Share your hopes and your dreams, your sorrows, your joy. Talk about things that scare you or that make you laugh. Just talk about whatever's going on, whatever's on your mind. For some of us, it's really easy to just talk. Maybe it's easier if you talk out loud. You'll probably get less likely to get distracted or sidetracked if you're talking out loud instead of just quietly inside your head. Maybe it's easier if you write out whatever you have to say. Maybe use a journal or type into your computer or write on whatever scraps of paper you happen to have lying around. Maybe you're totally a visual image kind of a thinker, and so draw out your prayers, color your prayers, whatever you need to do. While we can and should pray anywhere and everywhere all through the day, if we're going to practice the spiritual discipline of prayer, something that we do intentionally and consistently, then it is often helpful to have a bit of structure in place. It's not to say that we can't just pray anywhere and whenever the thought occurs to us or when we want to, but again, a spiritual discipline has involved in it that idea of discipline, something intentional, something consistently practiced. And so it's helpful to have some structure. It's really helpful to find a place that's quiet, free from interruption, and designate that spot as your prayer spot. Maybe it's just a corner in your apartment. Maybe it's in a closet. It doesn't have to be any bigger than a place that you can just sit comfortably. It might be that you find that it's helpful to light a candle as you begin, to give you a visual reminder of God's presence with you. Now, don't plan to spend hours in this spot as you're beginning this practice of prayer. Just go there for like 3 minutes a day. Find a position that's comfortable. Sit in a way where maybe your feet are flat on the floor and you're relaxed. Maybe sit with your palms open and up as a physical expression of your receptiveness to God. Maybe it's helpful to close your eyes, or maybe there's a picture or something else that you can focus your attention on. Maybe there's a gorgeous tree outside of your window and just look at that. And the other thing to do when you're intentionally, consistently trying to incorporate a specific time of daily prayer into your life, set an alarm for however long you plan to spend in prayer. That way you won't be distracted by the time. You won't be going, oh, is it done yet? Is it done yet? Is it done yet? Instead, you just know that the alarm will go off when your time is up. You know how we've started doing the whole palms down and then palms up thing at the beginning of our worship services? Maybe just do that every day. Palms down, tell God the things you need to release. Palms up, tell God the things that you need from Him. If you're looking for more structure, there's a great acronym, a great way of kind of guiding us through a time of prayer. It's the ACTS acronym. So ACTS is spelled A-C-T-S, and the first letter A stands for adoration. Spend a bit of time simply speaking words of adoration to God. Tell Him how great He is. And then we get to the C, which stands for confession. Having identified how great God is, we become aware of all the ways we aren't great. Name whatever comes to mind and give it to God. T is for thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? Tell God. S, the last letter of X, is supplication. This just means asking. It's a big fancy word, but it just means asking. What do you want from God? It's that palms up and open thing. What do you want from God? What do you need from God? Tell Him. Don't worry about whether or not it's appropriate or it's right or worth God's time. Don't worry about whether or not what you're asking for, you know, is something that's in God's will. As C.S. Lewis apparently said, lay before Him what's in you, not what you think ought to be in you. I think that's a great reminder. Lay before God whatever's in you, not necessarily what you think ought to be in you. Don't worry about that. God can sort through all of that. As we go into this new week, I would love if all of us committed to spending some amount of time every day practicing prayer. The hope as we go through all of these spiritual disciplines, as we spend these weeks and months focusing on this idea of knowing God and spiritual disciplines as the way that we know God, it's really not enough just to think about how or think about it on a Sunday morning for a little bit. We need to be practicing these. We need to be trying them out, and it'll be hit and miss, and we'll forget, it'll take some time to learn, especially the practices that we're not used to doing, kind of, especially in a consistent, intentional way. So this week, pick whatever time of day works best for you. It's probably most helpful to find the same time every day, but if that doesn't work, don't stress about that. Just pick a time every day that works. Then decide how long you're going to do it. Now, if you've never done anything like this before, maybe just do 3 minutes a day or 5 minutes a day. Maybe you can manage 10, but don't think about how much you think you should do. That's not what this is about. There's not a test at the end. Nobody's going to be evaluating you or marking you to go, oh, did you measure up? Oh, did you spend enough time in prayer? We're not coming back next week and having a competition to see who spent the most time in prayer every day. That's not what this is about. This is about practicing something and hopefully practicing it consistently and intentionally enough that it becomes a habit in our lives. But for that to work, we need to be gradual. Start small. It'll grow. But start small. Now, once you've picked your time of day, once you've picked the amount of time you're going to try, and again, don't forget to set an alarm so you're not distracted by wondering, oh, how much longer, how much longer? Decide what you'll do with your time. Maybe you'll just talk out loud to God for 3 minutes. Maybe you'll write to him. Maybe you use the palms down, palms up time to guide your prayer time. Maybe use the ACTS acronym, or maybe just talk. Lay before God whatever happens to be on your mind. There are no rules about what must be included or what's acceptable. Just talk to God. Complain, celebrate, yell, whisper. Whatever is on your mind, tell it to God. Right now, what I'd like us to do is take some time to walk through a guided time of prayer. Maybe you'll find this helpful as you consider what it means to pray, because a spiritual discipline of prayer, something that we do on our own, is often something we do one way, although there are guides that can help us through. And when we do it in a community like this, sometimes it's helpful to have somebody guiding us through this. And so in the next few minutes, as we're going through this, I want you to, as we begin, make sure that you're sitting in a position where you're comfortable, where you won't be distracted by your body, whatever it is that you need to do there. And as we get to different points, I'm going to invite you to repeat some lines after me. And you can feel free to repeat the line after me or not at all. And I'm going to be pausing after each line. And there will be opportunities through this also for you to just kind of fill in the blanks as you need to. And so I'll guide you through the whole thing. Don't worry if you didn't remember anything that I just said. The main thing right now is just put yourself in a position where you are comfortable, where your own body isn't going to distract you. And so as we start, be still. Breathe in and breathe out. As you breathe in, imagine the Spirit of God filling your body from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. And as you breathe out, imagine all your worries leaving your body. As you breathe in, think about the fact that God is with you. And as you breathe out, remember that you are with God. Now I'm going to invite you to repeat after me one line at a time if you'd like to repeat it out loud or in your head or just listen, whatever works. Lord, surround me with your Spirit. Remove from my mind all distractions, inattention, coldness. Open my eyes to see you and my ears to hear you. Help me be still in your presence. Hear my prayer. Now, if you're conscious of something particular in your life that you need to hand over to God, things that you need to confess, faults in you, God is ready to forgive you. And so again, I'm going to pray one line at a time and invite you to repeat after me or add to the sentence, whatever you need to do. The words that I speak are just meant to help guide us, to give us a bit of structure. Humbly and sorrowfully, I long for your forgiveness, God. For every weakening thought to which my mind has wandered. For every thoughtless word spoken. For every failure of self-control. For the things I just cannot forget. Lord, help me to know your forgiveness and acceptance. Help me to let go of the past. Help me to live from now on for all that is good and right. Now, if there's something you want to thank God for, again, repeat after me if you'd like. From the depths of my heart, I give you my thanks for all your goodness and kindness to me, especially for. May I praise you not only with my words, but in my life. If you're troubled or worried about anything, remember the promise of Jesus that he is with you always, and repeat after me, filling in the blanks as we go. I am distressed, Lord, because of. When I cannot see the way to go, help me to trust in you. When I cannot understand, help me to go on believing. When all seems dark, let the light of faith shine in my heart. And now, if you know someone else who needs your prayers, to your loving care, Father, I bring. And finally, Lord, let me walk with you and know your peace. May my life speak of you, and my whole being wait on you to hear your word and do your will. My Lord and my God. Amen.